Good evening and welcome to Cornerstone Church Bible Study here on Wednesday evening. We thank you for joining us this evening and we trust that you will be blessed as you join with us as we study the book of Ecclesiastes again. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, so if you have your Bible, please turn with me. And if you don't, the words are on the screen for you. We're just going to read verse 1 to verse 8 of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, which speaks to us of God's sovereign appointments in all of our lives. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to be instructed and transformed by your grace as we receive the engrafted word with wisdom. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, Solomon, we noted last week, has spent some time, many years actually, exploring the things of this world. He explored man's wisdom, he explored education, he explored leisure and entertainment, he tried to be a connoisseur of wine, and that brought him no satisfaction. He tried then even human achievements by constructing and designing these great buildings, a great temple, a great palace for himself, and multiple houses for his wives. He tried music and comedy and philosophy. He tried all these things. And having explored them to their fullest, he recorded that vanity of vanities, all is vanities. It's all empty, he says. It all fails to satisfy my soul. And at the end of chapter 2, he started to explore life beyond the sun. And he said, if we look at life just under the sun, i.e. without God, it's empty, it's shallow, it's meaningless. But if we actually start to look at life outside the sun, bring God into the picture, bring the horizontal and the vertical together, then life has meaning. Then life has value and understanding. Now, when we talk about God, particularly in this chapter 3, Solomon is going to expand on God, and he's going to teach us a lot about the sovereignty of God. It's a term we often use, and sometimes we don't really explain what it means. So what do we mean when we talk about the sovereignty of God? We mean really this, that God is the uncontrolled and uncontrollable ruler of this universe. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says, "He is the one who worketh all things," not some things, "after the counsel of his own will." God not only made the world, but he owns the world. He sustains the world. He controls the world. He has a purpose in the world, and he's using the world for his ultimate purpose and his ultimate objective. So that's in a nutshell what we mean, but let's give it a little bit more meat on the bones. When we say God is sovereign, we mean he's sovereign over what happens, when it happens, how it happens, why it happens, and what happens after it happens. Let me say that again. We mean that God is sovereign over what happens, when it happens, why it happens, how it happens, and what happens after it happens. God is in control. And this will include, in human history, the actions even of ungodly men. It will include the lifespan of any man, the calling of any man, all the events that happen in your life and my life and in the lives of all those around us, all of history is under his sovereign will and his sovereign control. All of history is his story. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 has 14 statements of God's appointments for your life and my life. And most of us understand that he's in control at the beginning and at the end. We say, well, I can understand the argument that God has appointed my birth and even my death, but the bit in between, that lifespan, is really my free will is guiding and directing those events. Well, Solomon will reveal in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that God is in charge all of the way through. Not part of the way, not at the beginning or simply at the end, but God is sovereign in the Alpha and the Omega of life, but all the other letters in between. Now, this chapter will teach you and I this great truth, that God is sovereign and we are not. And if you grasp that, your life can have value, your life can have satisfaction. Your life will start to go in the right direction. And your heart and your thoughts will start to move in alignment with that. And we like to think, as humans, that we control so much. But actually, we control very little of our lives. Now, Solomon in verse 1 gives us the general principle before he starts to unfold 14 different aspects of God's appointment for us. He says, to everything there is a season, at a time to every purpose under the heavens. In other words, he says this, every part of our life has a purpose. Every part of our life is for a reason. Every part of our life has meaning. Every part of our life is under God's sovereign purpose, God's sovereign will. And Solomon will remind us that we need to understand these things. And it's really a very humbling thought. It's a thought that enables us to really understand life and begin to live life the right way. I remember Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That word fear has the idea of reverence, respect, putting God in his right place. But then in verse 2, he starts to unfold various appointments. And he begins with the obvious one, a time to be born, and a time to die. And those two dates that we all have set down in God's sovereign calendar for your life and my life are all appointed by God. We don't decide the day of our birth or the day of our death. And those two dates separate the totality of our lives here on earth. If you go to a graveyard, you'll see a gravestone, and it'll have one date on it, and then another date, and then there's a little dash in between. And those two dates separate out the date of our birth and the date of our death, and the dash represents life in between. And we all have those two dates. We don't decide those two dates. None of us do. And there are two certificates, a birth certificate and a death certificate, that represent those two moments, and we don't write them. They're written for us by others. Now, man loves to boast that he is in control of his destiny. But the reality is, we don't even control what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't be boasting about tomorrow. For no man knoweth, or for thou knowest not, what a day will bring forth. No one knows. Of course, God knows. But from our human perspective, no one knows what's going to happen around the corner. And we do not like to speak of there not being a tomorrow. Sometimes I watch these programs of these people who move houses and they're looking for a new home, a retirement home. And they always say, I'm going to look for my forever home. Well, there's no such thing on earth as your forever home. Your home on earth is always temporary because you will not be here forever. And then Solomon picks up in verse 2 a picture or metaphor from the natural world to also explain another truth. He says there's a time to plant that which is planted. And he really is teaching this, that a successful farmer and a gardener understands the truth, that you have to get in line with nature. You cannot resist the laws of nature in order to be successful. You have to follow the seasons. You have to sow in the springtime. And then you have to harvest at the end of the summer and in the autumn, not in the winter. And if you try to resist the laws of nature, if you try to overturn the laws of nature, you'll starve. You'll fail to produce the right crops. And he teaches from the same metaphor that what you sow, you reap. You don't sow potatoes in the ground and reap apples from the plants that grow in the ground. It doesn't work that way. Whatever you sow, you reap. And Solomon is teaching us as well in life that whatever God gives us in life to do, those are appointments for us. And we must sow the right seed, and we must sow at the right time, and we must follow God's pattern and God's plan in order to be successful. And any time we try to resist God's natural laws, we fail. Anyone who climbs to the top of a HDB block or a block of flats and tries to jump off thinking that they can fly and defy the laws of gravity, what do they discover? They just come straight down. You cannot defeat God's laws successfully. Way many years ago, during what's called the French Revolution, a time of godlessness, a time when the so-called Enlightenment was prevalent in that part of Europe, the French people decided they didn't want to follow God's law in terms of the week. And they said, we're not going to have 7 days in our week. We're going to have 10 days. And we're not going to have a Sabbath rest, a day off for our people and our animals to rest. And we're going to instead have 10 days of work and then 1 day of rest. And our animals will do the same and follow this pattern. And we're enlightened. We don't need this old Bible to instruct us on these things. And we will become the most productive society on earth. And the wealthiest society on earth. And for 12 years, they stubbornly persisted in this experiment. And they discovered that their animals got sicker. Their people broke down in health. The people weren't able to work as well. And after 12 years of lower productivity, they had to admit defeat and return to the 7-day week and the day of rest of the Sabbath. And then Solomon says in verse 3, there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Well, let's take the first couplet. A time to kill and a time to heal. There are appointments in our life where God brings death. And of course, it's very sad when that happens. But sometimes he brings healing. Some people are raised up from beds of sickness. Other people don't. All are under the sovereign appointment of God. We hear a lot today about the coronavirus. And if you look at the statistics around the world, some nations are affected worse than others. Some individuals are affected worse than others. Some are younger who are affected worse than those who are older. And there's no logic in it from a human point of view in many, many ways. And this is a verse that just reminds us, God decides. God appoints days when we can lose life, but he also appoints days when he can restore. Not everybody who loses their life loses it because of sin. Don't make that mistake. Not always those who are ill because of sin. Don't make that mistake either. Job was the godliest man on the earth, the Bible says. And yet God sent him a tremendous illness and tremendous suffering and tremendous loss in his life and in his circumstances. And Job had to come before God and say, this is God's will. and I have to accept it. But Solomon also points out in the same verse that there's a time to break down and a time to build up. And you can see this not just in the individual, but in societies, civilizations, and nations, and companies. They rise and they fall. God allows some to be broken down, others to be built up. At this moment in time, the whole world is speculating who will come out of this great crisis the best. Which nation or which group of nations? Will this be the time that the Asians overtake the Western nations? And the simple answer is, it's God's decision, God's appointment. And if you discover and study history, you'll discover that nations rise and fall, empires rise and fall, companies rise and fall throughout time. In the book of Job, chapter 12, verse 23, we read this: He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlarges the nations and straighteneth, or brings them down again, reduces them. Many of us lived through a period of time when there was these great superpowers called the USSR and the United States. And then in our lifetimes, those great superpowers were reduced to one. Now we have a new one alongside the United States called China. And who knows what the future will hold. But if you study the history of nations and civilizations, you'll discover that they all have their day in the sun. No one is number one forever. Even in the Bible times, we see the rise of Egypt, then the fall of Egypt, then the rise of the Assyrians, then the fall of the Assyrians, and then the rise of the Babylonians and the fall of the Babylonians, then the rise of the Medo-Persians and then their fall and replaced by the Greeks, and then the fall of Alexander's great empire to be replaced by the Romans. Today there's no Roman Empire. It doesn't exist because it fell also. The same in companies, the same in nations. God allows them to rise and fall. We live in Singapore. 75 years ago, the country of Singapore didn't exist, the Republic of Singapore. It was just an island where groups of people from all parts of the world gathered under a colonial rule by the United Kingdom. And Britain had the great empire that ruled over a huge swathe of the earth. Today, the empire is gone. And the United Kingdom is greatly reduced in its influence and its might. And Solomon is telling us God appoints these. But of course, he doesn't just appoint these for nations. He appoints these for individuals. And in verse 4, he points out there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, in the Middle East, the people there are particularly physical in their emotions. They use their physical bodies to display their emotions. They generally are very revealing. Now, Solomon says there's days in life where there's going to be days of delight, but also days of despair. Moments when not everything's happy, not everything goes well. Oh yes, there'll be days where God appoints days of happiness, births, weddings are part of our calendar. But also deaths and funerals are part of our calendars. There will be days of promotion, yes. Days of economic growth for a business, for a nation, for the individual, where he or she goes up the ladder. But there'll also be days of recession, days of depression for a nation, days of retrenchment, days when instead of going up, you go down. And God appoints all of those, and all of these seasons are appointed by a sovereign God. Solomon is reminding us here. Then in verse 5, he says there's a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, In the Middle East, the land was particularly stony. And in order to make it fertile, you had to remove the stones. I grew up in a place in Northern Ireland where the land was very stony also. And the locals would take the stones from the fields to make them more fertile. And then they would use the stones to build fences or ditches around their fields. And if you go there today, the stone ditches, as they're called, are very beautiful. They're almost an architectural feature of the whole area. And people travel to take photographs of them and admire them. And there's a great skill in laying them a particular way so that they withstand the buffeting of the storms. But the stones weren't taken out for an architectural reason. They were taken out of the land so it could become more fertile, more productive. And God says in our lives there are times where God wants us to take out certain things so that we can become more fertile. But there are also times, he says, to gather stones together. A person can't constantly be removing. There has to be times when the stones have to be used and to be useful. And there's times when we must use the stones that are gathered together for a useful purpose. And there are things in our life that we have to remove to make more fertile. But those things that are removed can sometimes be used for something useful in our lives. But then Solomon says this, there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Well, the Middle Eastern people, if you've ever been there, are particularly affectionate physically. And they love to hug and kiss one another on the cheek when they meet. And Solomon is saying, yes, there's times when you should do this. You should show affection, friendship. But not everybody's a friend. Some people you have to refrain from embracing. Some people you must learn is a wolf, not a sheep. And being close to that person is dangerous to you and to your family. To let that person into your home, whether it's by way of the television or the movie screen or on the song, on the radio, that person will plant thoughts and seeds of disbelief and sinful thoughts in your life. And those type of people you've got to keep away from. You've got to refrain from embracing them, either physically or bringing them into your life. And then he says in verse 6, there's also a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. What does he mean by that? Well, he really is saying this, I believe, that in life there are seasons God appoints for us where sometimes we gain and then other times we lose. I mentioned Job earlier in this message. Job was a man who gained a lot. In fact, he became one of the very richest men on the earth, if not the richest man on the earth at that time. But then in 24 hours, Job went from one of the richest men to one of the poorest men. He lost everything, including his 10 children and including his health very shortly after, and including the relationship he had with his wife, because he and her separated in their view of God and argued about spiritual things. So Job was left alone. And what did he say at that point? Having had so much and having lost so much, in the middle of the grief of the loss of his children in particular, wonderfully talented, beautiful children, he said this, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. I came into this world with nothing," he said, "and I leave this world with nothing." That's God's appointment for me. And it's the same for everybody. And he says, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away." He doesn't deny that God has been involved, that God has appointed the good days and the bad days, the days of plenty and the days of empty in his life. He says, no, the Lord gave. It wasn't bad luck. It wasn't just a coincidence. It wasn't simply an economic downturn that caused this disaster in my home and in my life. He says, no, the Lord gave. I was happy to thank God in the good days, and acknowledge God in his giving So I must also be acknowledging God in the hard days and God in the taking. And he says, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. And he just bowed his head and he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's not just true of Job, it's true of many in history, many in scriptures. I think of King David. David started off, we would say, with the proverbial rags to riches story. He went from a shepherd boy to the king of Israel. But then, when he was king, he also lost his kingdom. He lost his throne. So he went from rags to riches to rags to riches again. He had many ups and downs in his life. And through it all, he kept acknowledging God in it all. And he kept saying there's a time to get and a time to lose. God gives us good days and he gives us bad days. He gives us things in abundance, but then he takes away from us. And we have to be candid and honest with ourselves and with him and say, yes, the Lord's hand is in this. We're in a situation in the world today where many people are losing many things. Some are losing their health, some are losing their wealth. Nations are rising and nations are falling. And at the end of it, we will see what the final result will be. But we as Christians can say, it's God's appointment. We as Christians can say like Job, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we must not try to outthink God in this matter. We must not try to say, well, God's done a good thing here, but now he's done a bad thing here. No, the Bible says all things worketh together for good to those that love the Lord. He gives us what we need when we need it. And that's enough. That's why I always say, don't be jealous of what God has given others, because he has given what they need for that time. And he has given you what you need for your time. He gives some, he takes from some. But then it says here, there's a time to keep and a time to cast away. There are times in life appointed for us to invest. Time for us to grow our businesses, our careers. Time to build homes, build families. Time to study. Time to achieve academic success. All these are given to us at certain times in life to do. But there are other times when we lose these things. There's times to cut off certain things. There's times to sell up. There's times to share with others. There's times to give to others. There's also times to save for others, including your family and your future needs. I always admire what Joseph did down in Egypt in the 7 good years, in that he gathered together all these things in the 7 good years, the abundance, the surpluses, knowing that not every day, not every year, not every month will be a month of plenty, a year of plenty, knowing that God had also appointed years of dearth, years of hardness, years when the land wouldn't produce much. And Joseph was prepared because he walked with God in God's will for those hard days. And his character never changed in the hard days as they did in the good days. But then in verse 7 it says, a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Our clothes sometimes get torn. And often it's the mother will get out the sewing needle and thread and try to repair the hole, if it's possible. But sometimes the holes become so bad that they're beyond repair. They're irreparable. And the only thing you can do is throw it away. And likewise in our life, there are things that we can repair. There are relationships. There are situations that can be repaired. God has given us the opportunity to use them again. But there are other things that are beyond repair. Just have to be discarded. Have to be start all over again. And you need God's wisdom to discern his appointment for your life in that area. There are times that we must remove things that become a problem to us. Then he says this, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And you'll discover in life that God gives you times and opportunities where you can speak up, speak wisdom, speak words of encouragement. You can be a blessing. You can speak truth to a situation. But there are other times he wants you to keep quiet. There are other times that he appoints you moments in your life where you cannot influence by your words. When you have children, you understand that, don't we? Very well, that when the child grows up with you, there are times when you can influence with your words. You can direct. You can discipline. But when the child reaches a certain age and leaves the home and goes on to live an independent life from you, that child no longer, you're no longer able to influence that way. The only thing you can do is pray and silently wait on God and say, Lord, I need you to intervene because I can't speak anymore. There'll be times of loneliness, times where God sets you aside, where you can't speak to a person, can't influence a person. I'm reminded of the story of Elijah in the Bible. God gave Elijah times like at Mount Carmel where he could trumpet the truth to the nation and to the king. But there are other times where God put him by the brook Cherith and left him there for many months, alone, isolated, where he had nobody to speak to. Times where he had to wait patiently on the Lord and the Lord's guidance and direction. Times where day by day, God just brought him enough to eat and no more. Elijah had to learn that there are moments that were called to speak and moments that were called to keep quiet, moments that were called to act and moments that were called to refrain from acting in the work of God and in the will of God. And then he says this in verse 8, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Now, the first one we understand very well. We say, well, God's love, so when it says a time to love, that's easy for us. We just have to love like God loves. But the other one seems strange to us. It says a time to hate. Well, the Bible teaches there are many things that we should hate. What are those things? Those are the things that God hates. God hates sin. He hates pride. He hates injustice. He hates oppression. He hates men flaunting themselves. He hates blasphemy. He hates all these terrible things that goes on in this world. And you and I are called, in a nutshell, to love what he loves and to hate what he hates. And that applies not just to others, but in our own lives. We are to hate the sin that snares us and undermines our testimony. But then he says this, there's a time of war and a time of peace. There will be moments in your life when you have great peace. There'll be moments in your life, no doubt, where you say, life is very good at the moment. Life is going very well for my family, for myself, for my business, for my career. But there are other times when things aren't going so well. There'll be adversities. There'll be strong enemies to face. I mentioned King David earlier, and of course we see that in his life, so well illustrated. There were times when David would be sitting on the mountain with the sheep playing his harp, enjoying the creation of God and looking up at the stars and praising the glory of the Lord and singing, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. But then there were days, even on the mountainside, in the hills of Bethlehem, that David had to fight the lion, had to fight the bear. Not every day, but there were days. And then there were days when David had to fight giants, like Goliath. He had to go out and face the whole armies of the Philistines and put his life on the line. But then there are other days where David could relax with his family on his throne in Jerusalem. And you and I have to learn that God has appointed these moments in our lives, and we must learn to embrace them, not set them off one against the other, not reject one and accept the other, but learn to say, yes, there's days of relaxation, days of peace, but also days of war. Days that we have to get up and resist the devil, resist the flesh, resist the power of sin that comes against us in temptation. As we look at all these 14 little statements by King Solomon of God's sovereign appointments, what are we going to learn as we leave this section this evening? I think we need to learn this, that all of our life, every aspect, from the big things to what we call the small things, are under the sovereignty of God. There are no accidents in our lives, just incidents. No accidents, just incidences. There's no such thing as bad luck. There's no such thing as coincidence in the life of the Christian. God knows us intimately. He knows our every detail. In fact, it says in Psalm 147, verse 5, "Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." It's infinite. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the level of oxygen in your blood right now. He knows the days of your life. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the day after that. All in his hands. As the old Puritan said, Deo fallente, God willing. God willing. And since God has given you the gift of life, it's not if, since he's given you the gift of life, then thank him for it. Then purpose in your heart to use your life. Don't look at life and say, I control all of these things. No, all of them are part of God's appointment. And don't say, look at your life and say, oh, there's good days and there's bad days. And the good days are the ones that I'm going to embrace, but the bad ones are the ones I'm going to complain about and sulk over. No. Solomon is reminding us in this chapter that each day that we have, each moment of each day, is God's appointment. And in those appointments, they're going to have different characteristics. Some will be pleasant, some will be painful. Some will bring great joy, but others will bring great sorrow. The births are always followed by deaths, aren't they, in life. Weddings, yes, but there's also funerals. Yes, there's promotions, but there's also retrenchments. There's days of economic boom, but there's also days of economic recession. And all of us as Christians must embrace all of these appointments and say, like the apostle said in Romans 8:28, all things, not some things, not the majority of things, not simply the happy things, the things that make us feel happy for a period of time. Paul says, no, all things work together for good. We know, he says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. And with that, those words, I commend these 8 verses to your understanding. And I say, just begin by putting God first. Just begin by thanking God. And if you've been ignoring him in your life to this moment, today's the day to put God first. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for your wisdom. We thank you that we have heard your voice in these 8 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we acknowledge that only God is great. God is good. God is wise. And he is working all things together for the ultimate good in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Help us to be patient. Help us to be prayerful. Help us to be humble and meek as we look at our circumstances and say, our God doeth well, and he worketh all things according to his perfect will and his perfect purpose. May we say, like the Lord Jesus Christ said at Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.